listeners, you may remember the report that came out in early October about cold medicines for young children. At the time, Dr. Thomas Welch, chair of pediatrics at University Hospital, came by to take us behind that headline. At the time, like many parents, I shook my head because, of course, I gave my children plenty of cold medicine as they grew up, especially during coughing fits in the night, and I was quite sure it had helped. At the time, Dr. Welch suggested that other things like waking them, hugging them, talking to them, those were the things that had actually stopped them from coughing. Well, we've come across two pieces of information for you since then. We've asked Dr. Welch to come back to discuss them with us, and he's here in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Welch.
Good to be here.
So the first piece of information was a report issued by the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine about a study that showed that honey was actually the best thing to give children to get them to stop coughing. There were 105 children studied, and the honey actually helped more of them than dextromethorphan. And that's the ingredient found in cold medicines, isn't it?
That's right. Actually, dextromethorphan is a form of a narcotic, so that is thought to suppress coughing in the same way that morphine or codeine or any other narcotic would suppress coughing.
Well, you know, when you call it dextromethorphan, you can barely say it. It sounds like something you'd hear on TV. When you call it a narcotic, that scares me. Mm-hmm. And I can see why then the professionals would be concerned. I remember as a child, my mom would give me honey and she'd put lemon in it. Is that something you would suggest for parents?
Absolutely. In fact, when I was a general pediatrician a few years ago, I used to suggest honey and lemon as a very, certainly a very safe and probably an effective way to calm a child down when they were coughing. I think the benefit of the lemon added to the honey is just that it cuts the thickness. Honey is a pretty viscous material. It would be kind of like getting someone to eat jam. And by putting the lemon juice in, you make it a little bit easier to swallow. And because the honey is so sweet, the tartness of the lemon isn't really a big issue.
I see. Now, isn't there a concern, though, about babies eating honey? I think I remember that babies are not supposed to have honey. What do you recommend in that case?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's the reason that I didn't even mention honey when we were talking the last time. There is a problem with honey in children under about 12 to 18 months of age. And that is, interestingly, that the bacterium that causes botulism can actually get into honey, even honey that's commercially available. And that can cause what we call infant botulism, which is a terrifying syndrome in which children actually become paralyzed.
Oh, my gosh.
Unless someone actually recognizes that they've been receiving honey, the diagnosis may be very difficult to establish. So we avoid honey for any purpose in infants, but certainly beyond a year and a half, it's perfectly safe.
It is. And what would you suggest then for babies who are coughing, who are in that window where they shouldn't be having honey?
Well, I actually would just get back to what we had talked about before and remember that the body evolved the ability to cough as a protective mechanism. And small infants who are coughing because they're trying to protect their lungs from secretions. So really, I think just picking a child up, trying to comfort the child, maybe giving a little bit of water or something to drink, it's probably about all I would recommend in that circumstance.
I see. Okay. Well, that actually takes us to the second piece of information. This is actually reported by a local pharmacist. She said she's fielding questions every day from parents frustrated because they can no longer buy the cold medicines they used to buy. And now they want to know what dose of adult cough medicine to give their children, or even how to cut the adult dose with some other ingredient. What's your reaction to such a thing?
Ah!
Okay.
Terrible.
Bad.
Most of the adult preparations contain pretty much the same drugs that were in the infant preparations. This dextromethorphan is an ingredient that's in just about any cough medication that you get over the counter. That's the DM component that you see in many particular products. Mm-hmm. There's such and such a product, DM would mean it contains dextromethorphan. And frankly, I don't think there's really a safe and effective dose of dextromethorphan for a child. I even wonder whether there's a safe and effective dose for adults. The dextromethorphan certainly is a respiratory suppressant, and children that overdose on it actually can develop respiratory failure. But whether in smaller doses it effectively stops coughing, I really don't think there's any evidence. And the study that you mentioned from Pennsylvania suggests that it's really no better than honey.
Really? So now here we've been giving these things to our children for all of these years, and in fact we might have been doing them more harm than good. What about the, I know one other thing I used to do with my children when they were younger was to take them into a steamy bathroom. I'd turn the shower on, hot water, and take them into a steamy bathroom. Do you know anything about, would that work? I mean, it seemed to work for them.
Yes, there are. In fact, in particular, children who are coughing from a condition we call croup, which is not so much a condition in the lung, but it's an inflammation in the trachea and the larynx. And croup is often described as a barking cough. Mm-hmm. And children that have it will make a very loud noise when they breathe in that, if I can demonstrate, is something like this.
I've heard that before.
Yes, well, that's croup. And there is certainly some evidence that changing humidity may help to relieve the symptoms of croup. So a child that has croup, they're certainly, whether it be cold mist or going into a bathroom. One other thing, quite honestly, that's handy in Syracuse this time of year, sometimes a sudden change in temperature will change the symptoms of croup. And I've talked to parents on the telephone and listened to the child in the background and said, boy, it sounds like you probably ought to bring the child in for me to see. And what they tell me is after they went outside, got in the car, and came to the hospital, the symptoms got better. So there's certainly nothing wrong with trying a little exposure to that good Syracuse air.
That good Syracuse cold air, right, and snowy air, too. Well, it does seem like there are some things we can do to help our children. As parents, we're not always able to diagnose exactly where the cough is coming from. But you're suggesting what, the change in temperature, perhaps the humidity, and some honey are some things to try?
That would be fine. And the thing to watch for, remember, most of the time, cough by itself is not a dangerous symptom in children. What I tell parents to watch for is the rapidity with which the child is breathing. And children that are coughing but breathing at a normal rate, you know, around 20, 25 a minute, that generally doesn't represent a serious problem, especially if they're not in any distress. Child that's breathing more rapidly, regardless of how badly they're coughing, is a child that probably should be looked at.
Very good. Well, that's great advice. Dr. Thomas Welch, thanks so much for taking us not just behind these headlines, but really helping our children to stop their coughing.
Thanks.
Well, new statistics were issued by the National Center for Health Statistics, part of the Centers for Disease Control, that say obesity rates in women have leveled off and stayed steady since 1999. It's considered a plateau, seen as an encouraging sign. In men, it looks like rates are beginning to level off. There were differences between men and women and differences in ethnicity. And while someone like you or me, the leveling off would seem like a good thing, but not so fast. We've asked our regular nutritionist and registered dietitian, Mary Henson, to take us behind this headline this morning. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Is this all good news?
I hope so. I hope that it means that we're starting to make an impact with our nutrition education and our healthy initiatives that we've put out, and that people are actually starting to listen.
What would make these rates level off?
There are a number of factors that could play into it. You know, hopefully it's that people are eating better and they're exercising more, making better food choices, and that some of these initiatives to remove unhealthy foods from restaurants and things like that are making an impact.
It would seem so. You know, I look at these kinds of things and I see a lot of big numbers, but when it boils down to it, if this is about an individual who's trying to control their weight, does this kind of study really help them?
Not really. I don't think so. I mean, it's good news. We look at it, but what does it mean for a person who's trying to lose weight? It doesn't mean anything. It just means keep trying, keep working toward it, become part of this bigger picture, and maybe we can turn the tables and have the next 4 years bring the trend downward.
And that's always a good thing. Do you have any predictions about what these reports will look like in 5 or 10 years?
Well, that's really going to depend on how we educate our children, because they're going to be the next cohort in this study. Mm-hmm. They're going to become the adults of the next 5 to 10 years.
Yes, they are. And of course, we hear so much about childhood obesity.
Yes, and that's something unfortunate. Is the studies that are coming out on that are that children are heavier than ever. So we need to really work towards helping our children.
Absolutely. Well, Mary Henson, thanks so much for taking us behind the headlines this morning.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's New Year's checkup from the neck up. From luscious cheese puffs to nasty cheese doo-doos, or get there from here. Remember those New Year's resolutions from 12/31/06? Lose weight, exercise more, save more, drink less, quit cigarettes, stop yelling at the kids. First off, if we made the same ones in 05, 04, 03, etc., don't despair. Most of us bail after a few weeks and do same old, same old. To paraphrase Mark Twain, it's easy to quit smoking. I've done it thousands of times. How come we do this? Well, we big time underestimate how hard change is. Fact is, for example, the average smoker takes 6 or 7 tries to quit sticking burning leaves in the mouth and puffing, even though we know it beckons the Grim Reaper 6 or 7 years early. And we underestimate how long change takes. Now, trick is, rather than quitting with, "I'll never do it, aren't I a spineless, worthless, ne'er-do-well with no willpower?" use each attempt to discover personal pitfalls and plan strategies to hop those hurdles. And to keep hopping, because brain research shows it takes some months to grow enough neuron connections before the new tactic is automatic. A hop-the-hurdle habit, if you will. Now, since 12 years old, when I started blowing my paper route cash on junk food, I've loved cheese puffs. Then, my dad developed hardening of the arteries, had a heart attack, and a series of that oxymoron, if ever there was one, minor strokes. And after watching this up close and personal for 10 years, I had a big insight. Maybe it wasn't such a big idea, a good big idea, to fill my blood vessels up with orange fat. Hey, 10 years isn't so bad for the Neanderthal man lurking inside of us chanting, "Fat, salt, eat. Fat, salt, eat." A couple more years to develop my hop-the-hurdle habits and win, but I did, and luscious cheese puffs became cheese doo-doos forever. You can win, too. Research-supported hints, think S-M-A-R-T smart. S for make the resolution specific. I'll exercise more, specifically walking. M for measurable. I'll walk 10 minutes a day. A for action-oriented. Act differently. Stairs instead of elevator. R, realistic. We change bit by bit, so add it in little pinches like new spice to our life. And T for time. Set a date to start. Dates for reaching reasonable goals along the way to our ultimate one. Then tell someone who'll support sticking to the fork in the road we want to travel and track progress in a journal. So here's my resolution, dear listeners. Zoom past Dr. Phil in the ratings by January 109. Hey, that's realistic, isn't it? Well, with all of us rowing our boat to the goal, we'll do it if we get smart. Happy New Year, fellow resolvers. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.